is okay with me.
And then it, and then you're, and he's wondering your exact job title. Probably, unless I decide to get groceries. So lock it. Okay, sorry.
No problem. Are we ready to officially begin?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, I'm Dan Litchfield. I'm a senior manager of project development for Invenergy. And I apologize, but I ran out of business cards today. But you've got my phone number and email from our previous discussions. So.
Right.
You're welcome to share it with her and whoever you think.
And I have. And I other people, yeah.
Okay. So do you want me to just introduce some stuff to you, or do you want to just start going through your questions?
Do you have more questions about, like, placement or anything?
He brought
these that I've already looked them up on, like the site map, and I think I did. I emailed that to you.
No, not.
Okay, it was other things probably. So I don't know if you have any questions or want to look at the map on the placement. I know kind of about where they are because I've looked it up. And then he brought these.
Okay. Yeah, that's my place right there. So pretty much south of here, there'll be some or.
Yeah, so the yellow dots are the planned wind turbines. So the two nearest your home are these two to the north of you, to the southwest of the Madsens, where there's more up here.
Southeast of me.
Southeast.
Yeah.
Right, twisted around. And then there's a total of 42 turbines that we're planning in Freeborn County. And this spreads out, you see them all. And then we are planning more south of the border in Iowa. And I spent the past 2 days looking at those out in the field. We'd want to build 100 wind turbines. We're looking at a maximum of 42 in Freeborn County, and then the balance would be in Iowa and in Worth County. Mm-hmm. So we have been developing the project going back to 2008. Some of the leases date to 2008 and 2009 in Minnesota. Once you sign a wind lease, we as a developer have 7 years to build, otherwise the lease is invalid. So all those original leases have expired, and we've gotten busy in the past 12 months trying to renew those, because now we have a customer for our project, and it's Xcel Energy. So we're going to serve as the developer, planning it, and then transfer it to them, and then they will build it and be the operator, as long as we're successful with what we want to do. So we are about to embark on our state of Minnesota site permit application. They will be reviewing in detail the entire plan. I had really hoped to file that about 2 weeks ago, and then last week, and then Monday, and it almost certainly will happen tomorrow. I'm waiting for one more bit of feedback from someone at the state.
That's one of my questions I have.
I sent you maps. Did I send you maps?
Didn't send me one map. I've got both my maps from two different people around here in the area.
Yeah, so we're going to file it tomorrow, and as soon as it gets filed, I'll email you a link to the whole thing, and you'll see the entire application. This exact map won't be on there, but other maps showing different aspects of the project will be on there, as well as the application.
Excuse me, will that be on, like, the MCU website?
MPUC
or whatever, yeah.
Create a website to list to all those documents.
Because I signed up for that, and a few other people have. So
fantastic.
Because then once you do your permit, we have like a certain amount of time. Whoever wants to either call, write, make comments for how long of a period.
Well, I think what's going to happen is once we submit it, then the state will review it and determine if it's complete. Not approve it, just did we submit everything we're supposed to. And then it opens a public comment period. And
after your permit is complete by them.
Yes, and they'll set a date for a local hearing somewhere nearby. And you can come and talk at that. And you can send letters and make phone calls and whatever. And then...
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that all memorized, what happens next, but there will be ample opportunity for you to share your thoughts on the project.
Yeah. I knew it would be starting, like, right at some point after the permit.
Mm-hmm.
So
I brought for you these two zoom-in maps of your house, and these are angles looking directly at the two nearest wind turbines. I also brought for you what's called a graphical calendar for shadow flicker.
Yeah.
The wind turbines are large and they move, and they have shadows that move.
Yeah.
And that, so some people can find that annoying.
Right.
We are.
I've seen videos.
Yeah. So in Minnesota, because of the Fribourg County ordinance, we're going to be limited to a maximum of 30 hours per year.
I think I've heard that.
So 99.7% of the year we can't cause flicker. So this, we've done a flicker model, which will be part of our application, and this is the output for your home. So this is showing you, we're predicting a maximum of 27 hours and 11 minutes.
I am going to have some of that issue too.
Yes, and then this shows exactly when and where it can happen. So the blue is turbine 20, which is the nearest one to the southeast.
Yeah.
And the gray is 21, which is further southeast. And this is months of the year.
Yeah.
And this is time of day. So this shows, like, this is the sunrise and this is the sunset. So when you see this jump, that's daylight savings. So basically, we're coming into June 21st, the longest day of the year, which would be here.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is showing is that in January and February, from about 8:10 in the morning until 9 a.m., well, for the month of January and the first week or so of February, the angles...
From when to when will I have it?
This is showing from 8:10 in the morning until about 9 a.m. From January until the first week in February, you'll have potential flicker from turbine 20, and then also from...
Oh, I'll have it from the other one farther away, too.
Well, and then also in November through January, also from that turbine. The times are a little bit different, this blob here. But
what time in November to January?
What is that showing? It's about the same time, a little earlier in the morning, 7:50, and then it changes as the sun, as the earth tilts, and the angles change a little bit. But this is... And when you see the final shadow flicker report, we did what's called a worst case and then a realistic case. Worst case means that the wind blows all the time. So like if on one of these days in January, if it's not windy, then they're not going to be moving shadows. Or if it's cloudy, there's not going to be shadows. This is the realistic case. The worst case filters out. Just imagines that it's always windy, windy is always sunny. But the realistic case still assumes that there's nothing that blocks your view. And what I've brought these maps to show is with these trees, if I knew the height of those trees...
I've read can be another issue with the noise, though. The trees in the buildings.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
That's what I was kind of thinking.
I read more information today, again. For, like, I don't know, quite a few times I've heard it.
Well, I don't know about that from noise.
I mean, that came from the health department.
From the view and potential flicker, I think this is going to block it a decent amount. And this doesn't take that into account. So I think you'll have this or less. It'd be our best.
How much am I getting from number 21 or whatever it is called now?
So the blue blob is from turbine 20, and the gray is from turbine 21. So it's much less from turbine 21 because it's further away.
But some from 21, too.
Yeah. And Heather, I don't have one of these for you because our prediction is zero because of the angle. Just because you're due south. The sun in the morning in the east and then in the afternoon, it's never going to be at an angle that you're going to get flicker.
Well, my concern is like the wind, everything echoes out here. Now, when them are running, is that going to be a constant or, you know, whatever the sound is at my place, you know?
Because you won't be very far away either.
No, and then my dogs, I got three dogs, they're going to be going nuts.
And I have a daycare and kids trying to sleep and all that, and there's a lot. I got questions I need to answer.
So let me address that too. So I wrote down here, this is our sound prediction for you, 44.9 decibels. And this would be the worst case, meaning, like on a day like today, you're not going to hear the wind turbines because it's so windy, you're going to hear the rustling leaves. Like we could go ahead.
I've heard some people comment that it's more when it's windy.
Well, let me explain why I think it's not. But like when it's so windy, like we go sit out there now, it's pretty loud from rustling leaves and stuff. usually we see the worst case noise when it's just windy enough for the wind turbines to be generating a lot of power, but calm enough that you don't hear that rustling at the ground level. We call that the critical wind speed, and that's explained in the port. So actually,
I'm sorry.
So that's the critical wind speed. So, I'm confident this is a conservative prediction, and it'll most likely be much less than that. But our prediction for yours is 44.9, and for yours it's 43.5.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
I'll write it down for you.
And this will all be in the application that we file soon. So the limit in Minnesota is 50. You can download a free application on an iPhone or Android and decibel meter, and it's not super accurate, but it'll give you an idea of sound levels.
The limit's 50, huh?
Yeah. So you're well below. I mean, it's 5 decibels, but that's a pretty big difference in sound levels.
I don't think that sounds like a big difference myself.
I mean, if you're driving, like, in a Cadillac on the highway, you might be at 65 decibels. This is 45. This is a huge level below that.
But I live and work in my home all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's in the questions I have to go over, too, so.
So that's kind of what I've got prepared, and then I'm happy to answer any questions you got.
Going back to like what you went over first, that's what I put down on right here. Okay, to do with information from you. Are you still trying to recruit more people to get windmills here in the area?
We're down in Minnesota.
There's
a couple more land agreements.
Because I heard you were talking to someone yesterday. Were you?
Yesterday I was in Iowa all day. I'll be in Iowa.
You weren't in Minnesota at all?
Well, I mean, I landed in the Minneapolis airport and I drove down.
I meant kind of talking wind turbine. I don't mean actually physically, just
no.
In there.
One of our land agents was out talking to Ed Herz about a power line agreement, who said no, incidentally. But we're done adding turbine locations.
Because I heard someone was talking to someone in our area, not far from here, about it yesterday.
That's a mile and a half away. That's probably. That wasn't about a turbine, though. That was about a power line.
Okay. How many full-time jobs is it supposed to bring after the initial, if they were up?
Probably 10 to 12.
I heard 10 myself. Where are the people going to be from?
Could be from here, could be from elsewhere moving in. These will be wind technician jobs to maintain the wind turbines. They'll be employed by Excel or a contractor of Excel. You could get training for this right here in Albert Lee, so certainly potential they could be.
So you just don't know, actually. And I asked you briefly about how big compared to other ones, and you said, say, compared to the ones in the Bentry farm, wind farm by Manchester, they're going to be the same height?
The tower height will be the same, 80 meters, which is about 262 feet to the center of the generator. The steel tower will be the same height. Ours will have longer blades, so they will be approximately 50 feet.
About the same height but longer blades?
Yeah.
Okay.
So their overall height will be higher. The hub height will be the same. The overall height will be a little bit taller. And then in Minnesota and Fremont County, where we place turbines has a lot to do with the height of the size of the blades. On this map, you can see it in this turbine here, this kind of weird green shape. That is the property line setback. So like if the turbine is right there in the middle.
Right. I didn't understand because I've seen two maps now. I did not understand, and I asked someone who's one of them that sent me, what these mean, where it's sticking out like
that. So
in
Fremont County's ordinance codifies what is otherwise just a custom and practice by the state. It's not actually a statute, but regardless, it's a rule we're going to have to follow. So from the turbine to this inner circle is 3 times the diameter of the rotor, and because our blades are longer, the setback is bigger than at the Bentry project. So this circle is 3 times the diameter of the rotor. That means 1,140 feet from the center of the turbine to the edge of this. And it's 5 times the diameter in the prevailing wind directions. So we've been measuring wind for 8 years here. So we've determined there's two prevailing wind directions from the south, which is what's happening today or was earlier, and then from the northwest. So this thing that's sticking out.
I've had wind from the northeast too.
Well, it happens, but
I know for a fact because of the wood burner.
Yeah, it certainly happens, but it's not a mathematically prevailing wind. So there's two prevailing winds. In many other places in Minnesota, there's only one. But we're lucky, I guess.
I mean, I wouldn't always know for sure, but my husband's our wood burners in back of the barn here, and I have allergies, and then certain times the wind blows the smoke right at the house. So I know for a fact.
I don't dispute that at all. It
because ask him, he complains. I complained to him, but like he said, there's nothing you can do about the wind. But
well, this winter was bad, because that's what filled us in this year, was out of the northeast. Mm-hmm. Usually if it's out of the northwest.
Our driveway fills in too, right. Mm-hmm. And then between our house and your house, mm-hmm. off and on. And I'm not sure about your driveway too, but yeah.
Yeah, from the drifting. I mean, you know there's a lot of wind here, so that's...
Yeah, then lots of times, see, that's the thing too. Lots of times it's just still as heck. What then with the wind turbine, is that kind of like a... going to be not very productive or what?
Yeah, I mean, these machines, the effect of the longer blades that we're planning means that they can generate more with less wind. So while the Bent Tree project, I don't know those machines exactly, but let's say it for 9 miles per hour, they might need 9 miles per hour just to start turning. We can do it with 7. We can be at full power with like 22 miles per hour wind. So the longer blades catch more wind and allow us to make more with less. So, but still, there's going to be days when it's just calm.
I know there's plenty of days. In fact, there's days out here, and I can show you on my phone recording different days where there's absolutely no wind, and all I hear out here is the birds. Just saying how quiet it is, which leads to my concern on noise.
Well, when there's no wind, there won't be no wind. There'll be no sound from the wind turbines, because they won't be operating. The older turbines, you might hear a hum from like the generator.
I've heard that, yeah.
But modern turbines have pretty much silenced that just with insulation and the nacelle, but you will hear a swoosh as the blade passes. Swoosh.
I've heard that too.
And that tone can change a little bit, but it's based on the wind, and if it's not blowing at all, there won't be noise from the turbines.
And then the other, the health department, well, I've read a lot of different things, but, you know, this is coming from public health impacts of wind turbines from the Department of Health. They looked at the noise, and then they also looked at which has created problems, I have read with people, on the low frequency vibrations and also the shadow flicker, which I guess, I'm sorry, I did not think we were going to get the shadow flicker problem. How come some people in the area that actually don't own the land are, I have heard, to be getting money when we're affected too?
Well, we do.
Not that I want your money, because I'm honest, I'm definitely not signing anything, no matter how much money, even though I don't have a whole bunch of money, but how come some people are in the area and it's not on their land?
So it goes back to the shape here. Like this entire shape, the wind access buffer has to fit on participating properties. So for example, on this map, there are some properties that have these lines through it. This means that they're signed up, but not in a full wind lease, is what we call it.
Because, right, that's the term I've heard.
Yeah, like Mr. Anderson's property over here, this is a wind lease, and so we can flex wind turbines and power lines and roads and all that. You know, in this example here, they decided they didn't want wind turbines on their land, but they were okay leasing their wind to us. So that's what we did. We also have...
I don't understand that. What do you mean by leasing the wind to them?
Well, Minnesota law and Freeborn County's ordinance requires this shape to fit on participating property. So for this, every time there's a turbine, this entire shape has to fit. So if someone...
So for instance, talk to us about ours, these two here.
Your two properties?
Yeah. Yeah. The two turbines proposed out here, for instance, they require a wind...
Wind lease?
Wind lease.
I mean...
That part I don't understand.
Fundamentally what we're doing is leasing the rights to harness the wind flowing over their land. And like you said, it can come from different directions.
So it's going to flow over our lands too?
Right.
At points.
And at some point...
Or all of
if
ours,
we were
yeah.
so close... We'd have to get your permission to put it.
Which we are close.
But the law says you're far enough away, we can still place the turbine there. Now, we would offer you a neighbor agreement. You just said.
Well, how come you offered, not that I want one again, but how come you offered some people in the area some and some people you didn't?
Before I joined the company, I believe we offered it to everybody in the area.
No, right? And I've been to meetings, and I know me as one. I don't know if you guys have.
Well, we got that. That was last summer. A guy came out with a contract. Well, we're not signing no agreement, no nothing.
Yeah.
But he said we'd get, I think, like $1,200 a year just to look at it. Well, we don't want to look at it. You know, we don't want to deal with nothing.
We've had nobody come, and there was someone who commented that they were down with you guys as okayed or with the program or wanted to be with the program, and they had never said that to anybody either, which is a few other questions I have here. But so why is that kind of stuff happening?
I mean, look at these little parcels here that are green. So these are, in this case, like, this doesn't help us really at all, like, as far as siting wind turbines, but we offered neighbor agreements to everybody in the project area, as far as I know.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
You were contacted.
I know.
You weren't, but
other people weren't, too.
It's not always easy to reach everybody, but we've been trying. We have a website. We have a Facebook page.
I know. That's another question I have.
The point is we want to be good neighbors, and so we're offering payments to people.
But you did it to a lot of people, which, like I said, I wouldn't have anyway, to be honest, but... I know you did to some and not to others, and I know some people said they were down as being for it and they weren't.
I think 2 years ago there was an instance of a guy we hired to go out and sign up new leases who was blatantly lying to people, like, your dad signed up, you might as well sign up.
I've heard that, but I've seen it as recently as in within the last, I don't know how many months, less than a year.
Yeah, well, the guy who was lying blatantly, we fired him, because that's totally unacceptable.
And I heard that you said that, yeah.
And I'm not aware of it happening again recently, so if you know of
it,
please let me know.
I am, and I've seen it. That was to do with the Facebook thing, but I don't know where, I was going to go in a different order here, and I don't know what all questions you have out there, too, but...
Well, that's fine, we'll take the time
if
to your questions.
If you want to talk right now, finish that,
I was going to say that if you know of someone who wasn't contacted by us but would like to, please ask them to call me or email me, and we'll talk to them about a neighbor.
I think it's more the other way around. I've heard of people, you know, being thought by you guys or had heard that they were down on something for being for it when they weren't.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Which led to my question, why go to some people and not to others, too?
Yeah. Well, we start with the large acreage so we can find homes for turbines, and then we talk to everyone else around. I was contacted recently by Brad Nelson. We had a map showing, it didn't show him as participating, but it did show these lines on it. And that was just, it did not claim that he was in the project, but it created a confusion, and he asked us to clarify that, and we did. But that was on our internal map. It wasn't...
And
it was a glitch
was
in the
someone
computer,
else
and
that
we got
I
it fixed. But
do you have an extra one of these or not?
I don't have an extra one of these right
you
now.
Don't.
We'll get some maps to you shortly.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll just work from the bottom up then. Okay, yeah, wondering about the dishonesty, you know, and I recently, a few months ago, seen, you know, you have your Facebook page. I don't know who runs that, but... Whatever, or if you do. But anyways, I've seen, like, a little while back, a few months ago, where it would pop up, so-and-so signed up, so-and-so signed up, so, you know, and, you know, one person made the comment right on there, I did not sign up, you know, why are you putting my picture on here? And in fact, I just seen that person last week.
Spencer Crawl?
Right.
Yeah. So we use the Facebook page to get out the word about our project, and there are a lot of people who like this, believe it or not. So when someone comments positively on all of our posts, we ask them, can we spotlight you as a supporter? And we never spotlight them unless they say yes. So I've never met Mr. Krall, but I'm happy to explain this to him as well. But we sent out, we had a poll, and we said, can we spotlight you as a supporter? And he answered yes. And I can show you the screenshot of that. And then he contacted us and said, this is wrong. I'm not a supporter. Take me off. And we did. So maybe there was a miscommunication on his end, but I think we fixed that.
I don't know. I just know of that instance, too.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm happy to show you that screenshot if you'd like. And we would not have done that unless we had his permission in writing. And we did.
Okay.
But he changed his mind, or he mistook it, and we fixed it. So.
And my only other question to do with your Facebook page is, how come all the people in the county pretty much, or I don't know exactly, seem to be on it, but then, you know, you put these things out there, and people comment, and then if you don't like their comments, you delete them and then block people from commenting again. They can only share it if they
want. I was wondering if that was coming. So we don't allow either abusive language or using our Facebook page to rally opposition to the project. So if someone does either of those, then we do block them from the page.
Okay, because I'm one of them.
If someone, and I, not
and I was not abusive, and I wouldn't talk that way to anybody in the first place. I barely said anything, and you probably know what I said.
I don't. I haven't seen that. I don't do that day to day. It's ultimately my responsibility, so I will look into it and see what.
It's like, why do you leave all these? People can't even say their actual, that's the part that makes me mad too. We have no voice, as some other people have said. But yet we're to be affected, which is not right at all. Why do you have the Facebook page then if only people say what you want them to say? And people like us who are not in no way abusive hardly said anything, and then my comments are off and I'm blocked, among other people.
Well, look at yours.
I have it on my phone if you want to see it. I screenshotted it. But
sure. I mean,
it was, what does the freeborn wind farm mean to me? And
that seems pretty innocuous.
If you want. I mean, it was nothing bad at all, but within 1 or 2 minutes, it was off. Where did I have my phone? That's a question, right, that I had too. And then.
I will look into that for you, Sue.
I just don't think it's a good practice. It's right, you know. To be perfectly honest, there's a lot of mistrust with your company. There is with people here, from the way things have happened with people, with different things, with neighbors, with your Facebook page too. I mean, in rallying people and getting. You know, and if you've been doing this a while, you know, and I've read and heard about it, how it gets neighbors against neighbors. I know relatives that this has become a big issue with, and to me, that's just not right to me. But.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think Facebook is a new tool we can use to communicate, and we can always learn how to do it better. I think that I'll definitely look into what our consultant chose to ban you for. I don't approve those, but I could certainly reverse it.
A lot of people's has been.
But there's certainly examples of people using foul language, of coming on our page to rally their people, their friends, to oppose our project, and that's not what we're there for. Or that's not what we have a Facebook page for. There's definitely examples of people asking questions. I think, like, your example of what does this mean to me is a question that is fair, and I will answer that post on Facebook.
Another Facebook.
But I also think that wind farms are a heavily regulated business in Minnesota. So as long as we can comply with those rules and demonstrate that it's not a health problem, it's not a major nuisance, we should be allowed to do it. And there's a lot of people who do want to harvest their wind. There's a lot of benefits from doing that.
Which I've read, even in the report from the health department about, that's something else I was going to ask you about too. This is exactly what I wrote. And I screenshotted it because I thought it'd be erased too, because I know you guys were erasing a lot of people's. And it was gone within a minute or two. A friend of mine, that's your meeting with today too.
Okay, well, this one I think is fine, and I'll respond that.
It was just an honest, short comment, you know, stuff honest, what I thought. But, okay. I was actually going to start here. And Heather, if you have anything, speak up. I don't do all the talking. I just wrote down things that I wanted to know.
Do you want to talk about the health risk stuff in the Minnesota Department of Health paper? Is that what you were?
Well, my first actual question I wanted to ask was, can they be farther away from our homes?
They're already farther than they need to be, at bare minimum. And see a little bit better here. Green is land that we have leased, and this gray shading are setbacks. So can you see the difference between the dark green and the lighter green? Mm-hmm. So like this is an area potentially that could have a wind turbine, but it would have to meet that property line setback. So in this is a square mile. We have all of it leased except for